sacrifice my open heart. I offer up my life. I look to you, Lord. Your love that never ends restores me again. So I live mine to you, Lord. In your strength will I break through, Lord. Touch me now. Let your love fall down on me. I know your love dispels all my fear. Through the storm I will hold on, Lord, and by faith I will walk on, Lord. Beyond my Calvary one day, and I will be complete in you. Scripture comes from Ruth chapter 1 verse 16 and 17. But Ruth replied, "Do not persuade me to leave you or go back and not follow you. For wherever you go, I will go. And wherever you live, I will live. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord do this to me, and even more, if anything but death separates you and me." Boaz answered her, "Everything you have done for your mother-in-law since your husband's death has been fully reported to me. How you left your father and mother and the land of your birth, and how you came to a people you didn't previously know. May the Lord reward you for what you have done, and may you receive a full reward from the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings you have come for refuge."
I shall see you through. Message this morning. I wondered about the title, but I think this title kind of fits Ruth, the immigrant mother. You all know what an immigrant is. If you're in California, you're an immigrant, by definition, I would say. So we're all immigrants. The Bible says we're strangers and pilgrims. Some of us are stranger than others, of course, but we're all pilgrims, at least. Our nation is a nation of immigrants. That's the reason why we wouldn't be a nation, obviously, unless people had come here from other places. Because here in America, they came to find freedom. They came to find ideals that they could not find in their own country. They came because of a faith. I do believe that our country would not be here if it were not for the Christian faith and for these strong convictions of our nation's founders with regard to the Bible. But Ruth was a lot like them. Most of our ancestries include someone like Ruth, who chose her new land, people, and faith. And I'd like for us just to consider what kind of a woman was Ruth, as we'll look here at the book of Ruth. If you want to open your Bible there, it's a short little book. You might go past it, or you might have trouble finding it, but it's there after the book of Judges in the Old Testament. about the, sixth or seventh book in the Old Testament. But we're going to look at the example of Ruth. What kind of a woman was this mother? Well, first of all, I want to suggest that she was a mother of character, a woman of character. Now, character is not one of those qualities that seem to be sought after among people in general today. I think that we put so much value on appearance and talent, ability, even things like hard work, which certainly we all value. But character seems to be lost to me. I mean, from my perspective, character seems to be one of those qualities that are not sought after among all people, maybe girls since we're talking about mother today. And I don't want to suggest girls are less character than boys or vice versa even. I think it's a problem that we all have as a member of this human race. And in a decadent culture, I think we would all agree that we live in a decadent culture. So what can we know about the character of this woman, Ruth, that we can model our lives after? Well, there were circumstances that formed her character. We read about those in the opening verses, especially of the book of Ruth, about how there was a woman by the name of Naomi who, along with her husband Elimelech, went to Moab. Now, Moab was a country adjacent to Israel. The Moabites were actually a descendants of Lot. You may know that. So they were related to the Israelites, but there was this constant war. There were constant wars between Israel and Moab. They didn't like each other. Because of the famine, they went to Moab. Apparently, there was food there. The famine was not as severe, perhaps. We don't know all of the reasons. They ended up in Moab, and they had two sons by the name of Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephrathites from Bethlehem of Judah. They were of the tribe of Judah. And they came to Moab, settled there. And in time, Naomi had three tragedies that struck her home. Her husband died. Her two sons died, Mahlon and Chilion. And she was left with two daughters-in-law, one named Orpah. That's Orpah, not Oprah. Orpah. And the second was Ruth. Now, really, this is a story not just of Ruth. It's really a story of Naomi and the mother that she was. She was truly the example for Ruth. But we're going to look especially here at Ruth and what formed her character. Well, obviously, the circumstances. The circumstances of life have a way of refining and defining character. Ruth was a Moabite. She was not a descendant of Israel. She was not of the tribe of Judah, as Naomi was. And she had this tragedy that she shared with Naomi and Orpah. The loss of her husband. The death. We don't know what caused that. We don't, we would like to know more, obviously. But all we're told is that in time, Elimelech, who is the father of Mahlon and Chilion, died. And so there was a tragedy that struck this family. Ruth was a partner in that. I think there were tears that were shed. There was an untold story here that probably we won't know until we get to heaven. Again, tragedy and sorrows and the circumstances of life have a way of refining or perhaps defining our character. They make us the people that we are. How we respond to these circumstances, adverse, many of them. Jesus said in this world we would have tribulation. But he said, be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. We don't have to be under the circumstances, as we will see here from Ruth. She was not one to feel sorry for herself. One of my favorite hymn writers is Fanny Crosby, and I read a little bit about her life, how she had this tragedy when she was born. A doctor, I think a drunken doctor, put eye salve on her eyes. I think a quack doctor even. And this eye salve caused her to go blind. So she was totally blind all of her life, except for those opening moments of life which she didn't remember. She spoke about how she would not have it any other way. And what a happy child she was. She almost felt guilty for being so happy because she knew the Lord. And she had a vision that none of us really know of the Lord. Well, I think Ruth was a lot like her. There were circumstances that formed her character. There were choices. Now, we read about that when we read about the choice that she and Orpah had as they came back to Bethlehem, and how they begged Naomi not to send them away, send them back to Moab. Orpah, someone has said, Orpah is the first in a sad series of those not far from the kingdom of God, who needed a little more resolution at the critical moment, and for want of it shut themselves out from the covenant and sank back to a world which they had half renounced. Now Orpah went back. That's the end of the story as far as we know of Orpah. But Ruth said these words, "Do not persuade me to leave you." She said this to Naomi, "Do not persuade me to leave you. Do not persuade me to go back and not follow you. For wherever you go, I will go. And wherever you live, I will live. Your people will be my people. Your God will be my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord do this to me, and even more, if anything, but death separates you and me." So there's a world of difference, isn't there, between Ruth and Orpah. Orpah went back. Ruth stayed. One kissed, one clave, one clave. Orpah kissed her mother, but she went back. Ruth, we're told, clave unto her mother. It shows the choice that she made. It's so important for character that we make the right choices in life. That we choose God, that we choose His Word, that we choose His way, as Ruth did here. I think she recognized this, even at this really beginning stage of her journey of faith. I'm not sure it was the beginning stage, but certainly she was at that proverbial fork in the road, and she took the right way. So there was a choice that defined her character. There was a commitment. The world is full of Orpahs, kind and well-intentioned people, but who lack the selfless love and wholehearted commitment that we see here in Ruth. These words have, of course, been quoted many times at the marriage altar. Very fitting for that, of course. But it speaks of the commitment that every person ought to have to the one who gave his all for us. We need to say to Jesus, "Where you go, I will go. Where you live, I will live. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God." And that will help to refine our character, as it did with Ruth. Well, there was compassion that marked this woman, Ruth. And I would like for us to notice the forms that compassion took. There was kindness in Ruth. I see it in, for example, in verse 8, where it says, where Naomi said to Ruth, "Each of you go back." She was speaking to her two daughters-in-law. "Each of you go back to your mother's home. May the Lord show faithful love to you as you have shown to the dead and to me." And that word that's translated faithful love is the well-known Hebrew word hesed. It's a lot like agape, if you're familiar with Greek in the New Testament uses the word agape. Well, the Hebrew word hesed is roughly equivalent. I think it's very equivalent, actually, to the word agape. It means, like it's translated here, faithful love. Love that doesn't quit. Love that is not exhausted or tried by circumstances to the point where it just gives up. So there's kindness here that we see in Ruth. There's concern. Her love for her adopted mother. Did you notice that Naomi said, "Go back to your mother's"? Well, I think in Ruth's heart, she knew who her new mother really was. It was Naomi. And so there was concern that she had concern, not just for herself and for her own needs, of course, but for Naomi, and she wanted to be with her. Well, I think it's so important for any kind of a love relationship. The Bible says we love Him, Jesus, because He first loved us. His love comes into our hearts, and we begin to feel, experience that love, and as we experience it, we begin to realize that it is our duty to act that love out toward others. And we see that here in Ruth, her love for her adopted mother. Unconcern is the plague of the day when it comes to familial relationships. Jesus said that in the last days, because of iniquity, the love of many would grow cold. But here we see a concern here in Ruth, a continuance. Orpah was not lacking in compassion, but her compassion had a limit to it, but not Ruth's. She continued with her mother. She continued with her new mother, that is, Naomi. And I think because God had put it in her heart that this is the way that she should go. I think it's only, we can only individually experience that. What is God's will for your life? Well, I can't really say what God's will is for your life, but I believe that if you will do like Ruth, and you will open yourself to the Word of God and to the God who is revealed in this book, that He will point that path out to you. And you need to, I believe, we all need to follow this example of continuing as Ruth did here. She was a woman of conviction. It was a conviction that was stated. And in these famous words, she said, "Do not persuade me to leave you or to go back and not follow you." I mean, we can just hear the conviction there. It was composed of a direction. She knew that she didn't know exactly where she was going. She was a lot like Abraham. If you remember reading about Abraham in the Old Testament, the Bible says he went out not knowing where he went, but he knew that he was going at God's direction. So there was a direction here that she was willing to accept. There was a place, there was a people, there was a religion. Where you go, I will go. Your God will be your people, my people. Your God will be my God. A lifelong companionship as well was stated in verse 18, where it says, when Naomi saw that Ruth was determined to go with her, she stopped trying to persuade her. It was stated. It was started. It was a fulfilled commitment. In verse 19 and following, we read about how Ruth and Naomi went on together as they and traveled until they came to Jerusalem. I think because sometimes that's where we fail. We fail to start. We fail, first of all, to state that commitment. The Bible says that with the heart we believe unto righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. I think it's why we have this tradition of the marriage vows, stating the marriage vows to one another, because there's something that happens when we state publicly what we intend to do. And everyone that Jesus called, as we read the New Testament and the Gospels, we find that He called them to follow Him publicly. "Come follow me," He said, for example, to the disciples, "and I will make you fishers of men." But it has to also start. And here Ruth fulfilled her commitment to Naomi. It wasn't just words that she spoke to Naomi. It wasn't just affection. I mean, Orpah had all of that. But she started the journey with Naomi. I think that's where we sometimes fail. We don't take that step of faith and find out whether God is going to be there as we take that step. Ruth was industrious. She was like the virtuous woman of Proverbs 31. She had no time even for self-pity, although we would say she certainly deserved it. She didn't expect charity to come to her. So there are many things that we could say about this woman, Ruth. I think it's why she is found in the Bible, one of the great heroes of faith. She was steadfast. Verses 16 and 17 have been repeated at many weddings, and they are appropriate in expressing the marriage commitment, but it also expresses the loyalty of love and the commitment that only love can make. Jesus made that commitment to us when He went to the cross, and when He prayed, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do," He prayed for you and me. And His love was poured out at Calvary. And if Jesus did that for us, should not we respond as Ruth did here? Ruth may be the greatest example of a godly mother in the Bible or in any literature. She influenced generations down to the present day. I'm sure you know she was the ancestress of David and of our Lord. So think of the generations that have been influenced by this mother, Ruth, down to the present day, down to you and to me. The hymn writer wrote, B.B. McKinney, wrote these words, "God give us Christian homes, homes where the mother in queenly quest strives to show others thy way is best, homes where the Lord is an honored guest. God give us Christian homes. God give us Christian homes.
Thank you.